This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Colin Quinn has had a long career as a comedian and performer, from the comedy clubs of New York to the early days of MTV, and 5 years on Saturday Night Live. He's also had a number of roles on the big screen and TV. Now he has a one-man show inspired by that great document that forms the foundation of America's government, the U.S. Constitution. It's called Colin Quinn Unconstitutional. Here's a clip from the show.
That's what the preamble says. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, because perfect is fine for other countries. More perfect is better for us, right?
Colin Quinn Unconstitutional will be on stage tonight at the Paramount Theater in Boston, and Colin Quinn joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston. Colin Quinn, great to have you.
Thanks, Anthony.
So I want to ask you, you're a comedian who's never been afraid to take on a number of subjects, some of them politically incorrect. There are a lot of subjects that could lend themselves to that, but the Constitution? I'm just wondering,
What's
so funny about the Constitution? What attracted you to this idea?
Well, apparently nothing's funny about it lately. It's actually going to lead to our total destruction. But I mean, what attracted me to it was, it was one of those documents, everybody always says how brilliant it is, and I was like, well, what's so brilliant about it? Because I'm like a spoiled American where I'm just like, of course we have freedom of speech. Of course we're like this. Of course we're like that.
Yeah.
Like, I just assume, man, that's how it should be. So I started looking at it, and I was like, I get it, Part of what's brilliant about it and drives everybody crazy is that no matter who it is, you don't get to tell them what to do. So right now you have a situation where people are like, no, those people are completely wrong. You're ruining the country. Like, no, you're ruining the country. You know what I mean? Too bad. That's just how it's set up.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of designed to make this country move cautiously, right?
And all the gridlock,
You bring some interesting historical details to our understanding of the Constitution. I like it that you make the point that a lot of drinking went on during the drafting of this Constitution. Is that true? And what did you find out about that?
It's true, but it's also good. Like, I feel like if today in Congress they knew they were going to go in there and drink and eat and just sit there and that was where the party was, they would spend more time there. Now it's set up where you have to sit there, be serious, sit. But if you knew, we're not going anywhere, we're going to sit here and eat and drink, they smoked, and then people would get more done because they wouldn't have to, they wouldn't find it a place where they just have to go do their job,
They might like each other too because it'd be like a bar, right? They could be more social
exactly.
with each other. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they really might. You're right.
You have a certain perspective on this because I read that you once tended bar. So I'm wondering, did all that drinking help make the Constitution as good as it is? Or do you think more drinking in Washington would help improve things? And
yes, I think it would. Well, it would certainly improve the level of truth that would come out. Like, look at Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto. I mean, he's not saying anything deep right now. But if they stopped asking him about his personal drinking, the guy, and started asking him, let me ask you something. When you get elected, what actually goes on? Like, what are the compromises that have to be made to the city council? You catch him after a few beers, he'll tell you everything he had to do, Oh, did you do crack? Oh, did you cheat? Instead of asking him about the details of government, while he's drunk, and he'll tell you the truth. You'll get more truth out of him than anybody else.
It's an interesting point. Listen, you also learned about some scandalous stuff that went on with our founding fathers. Like what?
Well, what everybody knows, of course, Ben Franklin was the, sex clubs king. He was just like the king of the sex clubs. There's no other way to describe it. And this guy, Governor Morris, who's like one of the big founding fathers that nobody talks about that much, but...
Now, Governor Morris, he was a New York City native, but he represented Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Tell us more about him.
This guy was like brilliant because he's the guy that came up with this concept that they didn't use, which they should have used maybe, where he said, because he was a very rich guy, he's from real money, and he goes, look, the Senate should be all the richest people in the country because they're naturally going to be at odds with whatever our governmental system is. That's meant to be a conflict. That's just the way it is.
I see.
So at least it's all out front.
You know where they're coming from.
Everybody puts their cards on the table the entire time.
But aren't we there already? I mean, for instance, the Senate is a millionaire's club.
Well, yeah, but we're not there in the sense that everyone's cards aren't on the table at all times.
I see. There's a great little detail that really resonates to anyone who lives in New England. The folks from New Hampshire had to pay their own way down to the Constitutional Convention, right? The government of New Hampshire said, "No, we're not sending you to the Constitutional Convention."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's perfect New Hampshire. It's like, you want to go, you pay your own way.
I love that.
You know, you don't ask us to pay for you, you know.
It makes me love New Hampshire even more than I already
yes.
did.
Yes, and they came like six, they came after most of it was done, like 6 weeks later. Pay their own way. It was hilarious. That's New Hampshire, right?
So tell us another story about drafting the Constitution that you discovered that really surprised you. Another piece of the backstory.
Well, Massachusetts, the beauty of it was, you know, what's the Shays Rebellion, right? Mm. Which was Western Mass. They had this whole, the farmers were sick of being pushed around by the, it was like Wall Street versus Main Street. And it turned into a thing where they attacked the armory, the Springfield Armory, you know. They were trying to get all the rifles. That was like the big, that was like attacking like the nuclear site. So that actually led James Madison hearing about that, going, okay, we got to do something. You know, this is getting serious. And I also love the fact that Jefferson and John Adams weren't even there. So I love the idea of James Madison going, you know what? Don't worry about them. I'm a genius, too. I'm sick of hearing their names. I can do this. I'll handle it. And these guys come back. And then Jefferson, you know, he always added his 2 cents in the Constitution. But you know how mad they must have been that they missed, that they didn't wait for them?
Yeah.
They must have been fuming. And I feel like it was deliberate.
Colin Quinn, your own political views come through a little bit, but they're not easy to sort of pigeonhole. I mean, that is, whether you're a liberal or a conservative,
right.
At one point you say you're pro-gay marriage, you're pro-gun, you're pro-choice, you're pro-death penalty. So what does that make you?
Anti-overcrowding. That's what it makes me. But I do feel like, problem is now it's become so hyper-partisan that everyone's on the same side of every issue. Like, they go down the line and agree with everything their party believes in, which is insane to me. I don't even understand. I don't even agree with 100% of what I believe right now. I feel like we're headed for a real breakup, and I'm not even being glib. Mm. I feel like we're going to break up.
Wow.
We lasted a long time.
That's heavy.
But, yeah.
Was there a shift in your political thinking after studying so deeply the Constitution?
No, I mean, like anybody else who thinks they're intelligent, it just confirmed what I've always thought. God forbid any of us can shift. There's no rational discussion anymore. Nobody will give quarter because it's ammunition to the other side. Like what used to be when I was a kid, there was the crazy old guy at the corner bar. There was the nutty person muttering to themselves in the street. And I feel like those are now, that's the status quo, those opinions.
Mm. Mm. So what would, what would those great founding fathers think of the state of affairs today, do you suppose?
I mean, they'd probably be like, all right, we created this. They certainly couldn't act like, hey, that's not what we meant. It's like, so when Ted Cruz and the Tea Party extremists closed down whatever, the government, that's still legal. It's a beautiful idea, but like everything else, you know, it's like that means everybody gets their right. Everybody has the same rights. Everybody.
You say it might be time for another constitutional convention.
No, I think we need one every year. Yeah.
Every year.
I think we need a month one on C-SPAN every year. In fact, not even on C-SPAN, because the original Constitution, they kept the press out. So maybe the press needs to get out and let them do it for a month. Let everybody speak plainly, openly, although you couldn't do that today because it would be YouTube. You know, they'll have their phones play. And just sit down and really be frank, because they kept the press out for a reason, because they wanted a month, 4 months, to just lay out whatever they probably said. So they probably said some brutal, cynical things.
Right.
So maybe we just need to let them do it without being scrutinized for a month, a year, and then bring it out.
You know, you mentioned, sort of made reference to the fact that it's such a different world now with everybody with their smartphones and social media. I read on your bio that you're the king of Twitter. You have something like 250,000 followers. But I'm curious how you think this whole evolution of social media sort of plays into this, these issues that we've been talking about.
Well, I mean, it plays into it in the sense that nobody, for a country that's based on freedom of speech, nobody speaks freely. Everybody speaks kind of ambivalent, equivocating.
Because we're all so scrutinized in the moment?
Yeah. So nobody wants to say anything other than the most general, vacant, homogenized statements. Now, anybody, you get fired from your job for something on Twitter or whatever. You know, it's just a very, you know, you look at some, most of the examples, you're like, oh, that person was probably an ass. That's true, but that's not illegal. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's something weird going on.
The fact that you are on social media and have all these followers, have they contributed in some meaningful way to your career as a comedian? In other words, do they provide ideas, jokes?
Oh, I mean, they provide me with entertainment. And everybody that follows me that knows goes, your followers are funny. I have some followers. Some of them aren't even comedians. They're just funny. Especially the brutal ones, you know?
Well, what about the brutally honest? What about the brutal ones? Do people ever scare you? Do they ever say, I'm coming after you because of what you
said?
Yeah,
I had a lot more of those, actually. I mean, they always tell me to please kill myself, but that's kind of funny the way they say that one. Where they're like, please die today. You've ruined my whole weekend. Yeah, when I first was on Twitter, I used to get all kinds of threats like, I'll kill you.
Oh,
I swear
God.
To God, if you ever come to this town, you're a dead man. And I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, I can't stop, you know, being snotty. It's too. They're going to take my pleasure of being obnoxious out of my life. Forget it. I'd rather be killed.
Did that scare you? I mean, seriously. I mean, you come into a town and you've actually had a death threat on Twitter. Is there a part of that? And you're laughing at it, but is there a part of you that goes, yikes, maybe I should go to the bar and sit facing the door.
Well, I do that anyway my whole life. I'm always paranoid. You get killed anyway. You could just be like the most beloved person. You're walking down the wrong street and you could get killed. I mean, things happen all the time to people a lot more innocent than I've been. So it doesn't scare me because I always think, well, you know what? If I'm scared, how do you think a Syrian 6-year-old kid feels running down the street trying to escape a chemical weapon? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I always think in those terms, like, they haven't even lived their life yet. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. You can put a lot of things in perspective that way.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this finally. You've done a show about the history of the world, now the Constitution. These are big, big subjects, to say the least. What's next? What's your next big idea?
I don't know. I don't know, but I want it to be something like big. Like, I wanted to do like electricity, because I feel like electricity, it's the most amazing thing. And we can't really, every invention now is still based on electricity somehow. The only problem with that show is, with history, you're dealing with somebody who at least has a base knowledge. With science, you could not have found a bigger failure scientifically than me in school. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Wasn't your strongest subject.
Yes, either something's wrong with me or it was psychological, but maybe it was psychological. I can break through with this, my new electricity show.
Well, Colin Quinn, he's the writer and comedian behind Colin Quinn Unconstitutional, which he'll perform tonight at the Paramount Theater in Boston. A lot more information at radioboston.org. Colin Quinn, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Anthony. That was great. Thanks.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.